Hello and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
So over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series all around the whole idea of culture. You know, what is culture? Culture is something that kind of defines you. So we're a Bible-believing church. You know, we absolutely, passionately believe the Word of God. You know, we stand on the truth of it. You know, we live by it. We declare it over our lives. We want to honour God always. We want to build our lives on it. But so do lots of other churches in our nation. So what is it that makes us different? What is it that makes Valley, Valley? What makes the church the thing that when you walk into, you know you're home? You know, what is it that if you walk into Valley Lancaster, you know you're part of Valley Church? What if you walk into Valley Blackpool, you know that actually you're part of Valley? What if you walk in here, you know where you are, you know which family you are a part of? And it's this thing called culture. And so over the last few weeks, we've been unpacking a little bit of this. It's like, what does it mean to be us? Because if you're here and you're saying, I'm part of this church, then it's not just about what I think, what Ed thinks, what Dave thinks, what Pastor Mel thinks. It's not about what any of us think, but it's about who we are as a church. It's who God has called us to be. And so we've unpacked this a little bit over the last few weeks. And I think Pastor Dave did a message when we weren't here on a pioneering spirit. And Ed and I had a great fun on our birthday telling stories about all the things that happened along the journey and the kind of markers that actually mark people out in their lives and what are the kind of things that we see were important along that journey. And last week, Ed looked at how to keep a healthy heart. And, you know, we've looked at all these things, and these things are part of the things that make us Valley. They make us us. And I'm going to unpack one of the other things this morning. And it's something that actually is really precious to me. And I've like got all these notes, and I was saying to Ed, you know, I like got all these notes, but I feel like I speak on this all the time. And he's just like, just go up, Michelle, and just share your heart. Just share what God is saying in this. Because you know what? It's just so important. It's so part of me. You can probably work out what it's to do with. But you know what? I just think God gives us this message, and he keeps reminding us because we forget. You know, we can almost preach the same message week in, week out, week in, week out. And it's all based on the love of God and making a home for his people, making a home for the people who actually aren't yet his people, who God wants to be his people. And so today, my message is all about how do we as Valley Church create a home for all? How do we as Valley Church create a home for all? And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite some friends to join me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are here by your presence. God, we thank you that we don't come to a place that is empty and void, but actually, God, when we come into your house, when we meet with your people, we're coming home. We're home in your presence, God, because your spirit is at work in each one of us. And God, you know, when two or more are gathered in your name, God, that it says you're in the midst of us. And God, we come to you this morning. And God, we invite you to speak to us. God, we say, won't you open our ears so that we can hear your voice? Won't you just prompt us with the thing that we need to take away? God, with the thing that you want to change within us. God, the thing that you want to awaken inside of us that you've already put there, that treasure, God, that is already invested in us. And God, won't you bring it to life this morning? God, we just ask you to do something new in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I've got a little bit of cake here and some coffee and tea. And hey, Mel, do you want to come and join me? And I think you really like tea, don't you? So I think the tea's over here. And Jenny, do you want to come and like have a coffee? I'm not actually quite sure what it is. It's a cappuccino. Nice. So girls, you all right? Yeah, good. I'm really good, thank you. I just thought, you know, like I'd really invite you into my home. So welcome. Like you don't need to do anything. You don't need to speak. You just need to chill, enjoy the cake, enjoy the drinks. And yeah, is that right? Awesome. Hey, enjoy. So the girls are going to have a really nice time with their coffee and cake because you know what? It's all ready and it's all prepared for them. And I don't know. I just think God's got things prepared for each one of us. And, you know, maybe we do some of the preparing for others, But God's always got something prepared for us, hasn't he? And you know, this idea of home, it is really close to my heart, because I just believe that God wants us to be a home for all. And if you know me well, you'll know that my heart always goes out to people who are looking for love, people who are actually looking for a family, people who maybe haven't had it always so good. And the Bible says that God is the same. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit." And Psalm 73, 26 says, "My heart and my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You don't have to be blind to see that we live in a broken world. You know what? Each one of us, even if we're part of a great family, we have those moments where we just don't get on. Things just don't quite go right. And you might have had one of those moments this morning. You might have had a row with your husband or your wife or your kids. Might have been an absolute nightmare. You know, I'm not saying whether I did or I didn't, but you know what? Life's not always hunky-dory, even if you're in a great family, is it? But you know what? God never intended it that way. But all families go through difficult times. And within these four walls, there's people here who, you know, maybe you haven't had such a great upbringing. You know, maybe you didn't come from a family that really loved you. Maybe, you know, maybe you're here and maybe your partner left you. Or maybe, you know, someone that you love has been sick and isn't here anymore. And, you know, maybe you're having to deal with grief, and maybe you're having to deal with loneliness. You know, sometimes people just move away from families, and it's not that there's anything wrong in the family, but actually they've just left because of a job or for some other reason they've had to leave home. Maybe you're at uni or doing life, you know, in a different season of life. But you know what? We're not unusual in this place that there's all those people within these walls. And actually, if you go into your workplace, there's all those people in your workplace. And everywhere you go and everywhere you see people, you know, whether it's the doctor's surgery, whether it's the playground, whether it's your work, whether it's your next door neighbor, everybody is looking for love. Everyone is looking for a home. Everybody is looking to belong. And if you go on social media, you know what? It just magnifies it, doesn't it? 10 times up. And you know, I look at, and it just breaks my heart sometimes, and I see girls dressed up to the hilt and off into town going to have a wild time. But they're looking for something they're not going to find where they're going. And all the time, God is saying, look, I'm preparing a home for you, a community, somewhere to belong. And it isn't just for the brokenhearted. You know, it's not just for the people on the edges of society. But, you know, each one of us, if we're honest, we're looking for a home. Because God's actually put something within us that longs for community. God's put something in us that actually longs to have friends, longs to be part of the family. And so when Ed and I got together and we wrote The Church We See, The Church We See is like our, it's our vision statement. This is the church that we see Valley becoming. This is the church we believe God has called us to build. And it starts with these words. It says, "The church we see is a home for all, where people of any generation, age, race, and background are welcomed, valued, and loved." Do you know what? That's the church that we would love to see. It's the church that we would love to pastor, and it's the church, but more than any of that, it's the church that we would love to belong to. You know what? We don't just want to pastor a church that we think is, you know, we want to belong to a church that is exactly like that. And we believe that is what God actually, in his heart of hearts, that he wants, because that is the church that the world needs. You know, that is the church the world is looking for, and it's the church that our nation needs. And it's the church Jesus calls us to be. A church where love is and where love does. You see, every home is built on love, or God desires that every home would be built on love. And love in itself points to Jesus. Let's look at a verse in 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. I think it's going to come behind me. It says this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." You see, no one generally ever sees God, but they see you in your everyday. You know what? When they come to church, you know, Jesus isn't at the front door welcoming them, but Jesus is actually at the front door welcoming them, because Jesus is living in you. We know God's love, And so because we know God's love, we can give that love to others. And so I want to talk a little bit about this morning and talk about how we can create a home for all. Because you see, it doesn't just take one or two of us. It actually takes all of us. You know, if you're part of a family, you know that if little John is sulking, it affects the whole family, right? You know what? If your little one's playing up, oh my word, you might have a super stressful day because they're kicking off. Or, you know, if one of you is really sick, it's like it's on your mind. Because actually, it's not just about one or two creating an atmosphere of home. It's actually about all of us. So I wonder what you think of when you think of home. I asked a few people this, which was really interesting, because when I think of home, I think of like my kitchen table, maybe a bit of a scene like this with friends, just, you know, hanging out, relaxing. Someone else said to me, I think of like my duvet and my TV. I was like, what? TV's overrated, personally, I think that. But, you know, what do you think of when you think of home? Do you think of like a cozy place? Do you think of a place of fun? Do you think of a place of rest? Do you think of a place of peace and comfort? You know, if you had your ideal home, like, what would you think of? Ed? A castle. Ed would think of a castle. Ed wanted to buy me a castle when he got married. He has big dreams. What else do you think of when you think of home? Anyone else? Warmth. Esther, yeah, with you. Warmth. You think of warmth, especially on a cold day. Anyone else? Food. Come on, okay. You're not allowed to go to sleep, so we need a little bit of audience participation. Comfort, peace. Laughter? Sorry? Family, absolutely. Anything else? Your bed. Your bed and a good book, absolutely. Not the good book. But whatever we think of home, it's like it's our place, isn't it? It's like our safe place. It's where we want to come back to. And, you know, we love traveling. And when Ed and I we're so blessed, like totally blessed. We get to travel all over the world. But this time when we came home from Colour, I was really excited. In fact, I think Mel asked me like 2 days later, have you unpacked? Have you had time to unpack? I'm like, Mel, it was the first thing I did. Because I realised when I got back, I was going to put my suitcase away. And for 3 months, I wasn't going to get it out again. And it was so amazing. And it was so lovely to think, oh, I'm home. And I think that's what God wants us to be like about creating a home for others. That's the kind of like a feeling that God would love people to encounter when they come into his church. And I'm not talking about church as the building. I'm actually talking about church as the people. Because I was in worship this morning and I've been praying about my message and going like, God, what do you want to say? And I really felt that God was saying that I want, when you're talking about home, I want you not to talk about home as the place. I actually want you to help people realize that home is actually inside of us. It's like when we open our hearts to other people. You see, when God came initially, you know, he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and then they sinned, and then they were cast out of his presence. And then kind of the next time we kind of see the presence of God coming in kind of anywhere that people could kind of meet or be, it was like in the tent of meeting. And in the Holy of Holies, and it was like he was away, but he was in this tent. And then the temple was built, and we had Solomon's temple, and it was like the presence of God filled the temple. You know, it talks about it if you read the prophets. And then if you go into the New Testament, you got another temple, well, three altogether. But then you got the synagogues as well, all in the middle of all of that. But then when Jesus came, like he was the presence of God on earth. But then when he went, he said, I'm going to make my home with you. And actually, who we need to be is we are actually the home of God. Like God says, I will put my Holy Spirit within you. And so when we create a home for other people, what we actually need to do is actually to start off with is to look at ourselves and to look at our hearts. And so I've got 8 things this morning. I don't know I'm going to have the time. Ed's told me if I run out of time, I can drift into the evening. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm going to unpack them a little bit, but let's thank these beautiful girls for helping us with our illustration. Thank you, ladies. I'm sure they enjoyed it as well. That's not a valley clap. Come on. Much better. We're talking culture. Like, we just believe in doing things well, okay? So if we're going to cheer, like, we're going to just do a proper cheer.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, ladies. That was awesome. But I just, did you understand? I wanted to illustrate a little bit about what home was like. So I hope you kind of got that. So I'm going to have a look now at Psalm chapter 15. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to it as we begin looking at this whole journey of what home actually looks like and how we create a home at Valley. It's going to hopefully come on the screen as well. Psalm chapter 15. It says this, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? That's the tent I was talking about. Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. And I was reading this, and I have a new Bible, which I'm really excited about. And it's the Passion Translation, right? If you are creative, you will love this version of the Bible because it brings everything to life. Now, if you're not creative, you might not like it quite as much as some. Just putting it out there. Because all of our personal lives, our devotional lives, are unique to ourselves, my husband told me this morning. So I am going to read it from the Passion Translation. And it says this. It's called Living in the Shining Place. It says, Lord, who dares to dwell with you? Who presumes the privilege of being close to you, living next to you in your shining place of glory? Who are those who daily dwell in the life of the Holy Spirit? They are passionate and wholehearted, always sincere and always speaking the truth. For their hearts are trustworthy. They refuse to slander or insult others. They'll never listen to gossip or rumors, nor would they ever harm another with their words. But they will speak out passionately against evil and evil workers while commending the faithful ones who follow after the truth. They make firm commitments and follow through, even at great cost. They never crush others with exploitation or abuse, and they would never be bought with a bribe against the innocent. They will never be shaken. They will stand firm forever. And I just love that picture of people that dwell with God. And when we're talking about creating a home, you know, it's easy to say, well, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do the other. But the first thing it does is it starts in us. The first thing it does is by saying, you know what, church, are we passionate and wholehearted? You know what, when we come into God's presence, are we there dwelling in his presence day in, day out? Are we ready to prepare a home for others? Because actually God is at home within us. And I just love that thought. I was like, wow, what an amazing thought, just to kind of like go into that place. You know, it's not just about going to the tent of meeting. It's not just about going to church on a Sunday, but it is actually about having your heart ready so that God has a home there. So that then you can go out and create a home for others. You know what? Do you think about your speech? Are you sincere? Do you speak the truth? You know, do you refuse to slander people or insult people or gossip? Do you speak out against evil? You know, some of these things, like, they're so obvious, aren't they? They're in the Word of God, but sometimes we just forget them, or sometimes we can drift, or we know we don't pick things up when we hear them. We want to have a culture where we love people, but we challenge the behavior. You know, we want to make sure that we're getting it right ourselves so that we're not talking to other people about stuff that God really needs to do a work in our lives. You know, when you come to church, are you going to be the person you want to meet? That's my first point. You be the person that you want to meet, because that's what this psalm is saying. This psalm is saying, you know what, will you be that person? Will you be somewhere God can dwell? When others meet you, they will see that that's the kind of person you are, and they'll be attracted to you because you don't put others down. You know what, when you come to church, who do you want to meet? You know, what kind of attitude do you want to come across? Do you want to come across someone who is welcoming, someone who is open? Do you want to come across someone who is generous and kind, who is reliable? Do you want to come across someone who thinks they have all the answers? Or do you want to come across someone that will listen to what you want to say? Will you choose to be the person you want to meet? Maybe you want someone to ask you for a coffee. Well, will you be the person that actually becomes known for asking other people for going out for a coffee? Maybe you feel like you want someone to listen to you. well, how about becoming the person that everyone goes, if I need someone to listen to me, I know I can go to that person. You know, maybe if you feel like you want someone to love you, how about becoming known for being the person that loves others? You know what? If you become the person that you want to meet, you'll be amazed at the people that gather around you in your world. So, hey, let's choose to be the person that you want to meet. Secondly, let's value each other. Let's see the value in one another. Let's see the good in the people that we meet, not the things that they're getting wrong, not the things that they're kind of not quite nailing, but let's see the good in what they're doing, you know, but because that's what God sees in us. Genesis, the beginning of Genesis says this, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. In the New Testament, it talks about, you know, God, he knows the number of hairs on our head. Like, that's how well God knows us. That's how God sees us. You know, he even cares about the sparrows that fall to the ground, the Bible says. How much does he care about us? And actually, God sees the value in us. He's put us here for a reason. He's given us purposes, and he's got plans for us, and he's got purposes and plans for everyone else around us as well. You know, if we want to create a home where people feel welcomed, then we need to see the value in everyone. What about the people that have different skill sets to us? You know, are there people in your world that actually really wind you up? Nah, you're all perfect. Are you all perfect? Does anyone wind you up? Only a few of you. Like, you're so holy. Like, there's people that really wind me up. You know, when I'm like, oh, I need to do this because this person needs my love and this person needs my care. Maybe my husband's going, nope, we need to go now. And you know what? That's really frustrating because... I have to say, my husband is like amazing. Just to let you know this, he is absolutely awesome. But you know, we are different, but we all need each other. Yeah? And I actually need someone to go, right, yeah, Shell, okay, you've loved so many people, you've done all these things, now you need to do this. And it's like, you know, you need to get the kids to school on time or whatever, I don't know. I mean, I'm not that bad, I'm kind of like weaving a big web that isn't actually totally bad, is it, Abby? We get to school on time most of the time. No, we do. She's never had a late. Oh, apart from when her dad's taken her. There you go. I guess you get what I'm trying to say, right? You know, we can be funny and we can laugh, but we do have people that we don't always see eye to eye with. But you know what? God sees eye to eye with them. God says, I've put that within them because actually, you know, that's who I want them to be. And God says, I've put that within them because actually you need to have that person in your world that is like that. And you know what? We can try and surround ourselves by the people that are just like us. But our lives will be so much poorer. And actually, we need to surround ourselves with people that are different to us. Because we need those people in our world, and God has put them there to help us, to encourage us, to build into us, to help us to get onto the next level of where he wants us to be, so that our world doesn't get to be a small place, but actually gets to be a big place. God says that, you know, he wants to give us a spacious place. And a spacious place isn't just full of one or two people that are just like me. A spacious place is full of different people that are like Ed and Dave and Mel and Jack and Dave and Kat and Jen. You know what? God has put us all together because actually that brings a richness. And when we value each other, then actually God can do an amazing work in us. The third thing is this. If we want to create a home for everyone, we need to give as well as receive. You see, we want the nice things. We want to sit and have coffee and cake. But you know what? Sometimes we just got to do the ironing. Like, sometimes we've just got to iron the shirt. Because you know what? It just looks a little bit creased if we wear it like this. And church wouldn't be a pretty place. But you know what? If we want to have this, then we need to do the ironing, guys. We need to do our DIY work on the ladder with a hammer or something. I don't know. But you know what? When you go in someone's home, you don't see this because we put it away. You know what? It's upstairs on the landing, or it's in the spare room, or, you know, it's out the way. Or, you know, the ladder, it tends to get taken down before you come and have coffee with me. But actually, if we're going to create a home where everyone can feel welcome, we've got to give as well as receive. And, you know, I love it when other people come to our house. Our children have jobs and they don't like doing them, to be fair. Like, none of us are that keen on doing our jobs, are they? But when they come and they say, like, when Iona comes and she's like, yeah, we wash up every day, and she cooks, and Ripley comes and she's like, yeah, cook these meals, and other people come and they're like, yeah, we wash the cars. And, you know, I love it when other children come to our house and our kids go like, oh, right, okay. Because, you know, you think you do a lot, but when you hear what other people do, it just helps you to see that actually it does take all of us to work together to build a home. And 1 Corinthians 12, I haven't got time to read it all now, talks about us being a family. You know, it talks about being a body, and it says, you know what, we need hands, we need arms, we need fingers, you know, we need ears and noses, we need all these things, and actually we need each one of us to bring what we bring. And for some of us, it will look like being part of a team on a Sunday. You know, the host team have done a fabulous job in setting the stage for me this morning. You know, I couldn't have stood here and preached this half as well without having all of this behind me. James did an awesome job at leading worship. And, the guys on the door, the coffee shop making the coffee, the team playing, the production team, the kids team, the youth team. You know what? We need everybody to play their part. Maybe for you, it's finance. You know, whatever you have in your life to give, God just says, like, will you give it? You know, I love the thought. Jack's giving message was awesome. Like, you know what? Is a wallet out of the baptistry? Like, yeah, interesting thought. But is it? You know, we all need to give as well as to receive. And all of us have something to bring. There's not one person sat here that has nothing to bring. You know, we all have things that God has given us. And the amazing thing about it is that when we do our bit, when we serve on a team, when we give whatever, then actually the successes aren't someone else's successes. They become your successes. You know what? Someone else's party becomes your party. Someone else's milestone in their life becomes your milestone in your life. Someone else's breakthrough in their marriage becomes something that you celebrate, that you see a breakthrough in their marriage. Someone else's healing becomes part of your world. It becomes something that you can celebrate. Someone else's breakthrough in parenting becomes something that you've been part of. And, you know, for each one of us, as we give things, then we actually become part of something bigger. And that is what the world is looking for. The Bible says the life of the generous gets larger and larger, and it is so true. You know what? We can hold on to our stuff, or we can hold it out to God. You know, the Bible talks, it says, you know, that when you lay your life down, you know, when you begin to follow Jesus, you lay your life down, you say, God, I'll give you all. But then somehow we kind of take it back again. But actually God say, no, you've already given it to me. You can't take it back. You know, when you gave your life to me, that's what you gave. You gave it all. But actually what I've given you is this. And one thing that Ed and I have come to realize is that as we've given God our lives, like, we've got way more than what we could ever have dreamt ourselves. And then the fourth thing is this, and my last one for this morning is this. Let's be a part of the family, both big and small. Let's choose to be part of the family, big and small. Dave did a brilliant job earlier of talking about connect groups. You know what? Sundays are amazing. It's where we get to come in. It's where we get to worship God. You know what? The whole of the UK thinks church happens on a Sunday. But you know, church doesn't just happen on a Sunday. We come together and we worship God. But we know that God wants to keep growing his church. And we know that a family is something that you go to because actually you want to be loved, you want to be known. And, you know, as church grows, that becomes harder. Like, to be honest, on a Sunday, you know, we gather all the families together to worship God. But connect groups is where we do life. Connect groups is where we do family. You know, Ed and I have a team of leaders that we gather together, and we get together and we worship and we hang out. We have like an hour just having food and relaxing. And then we, you know, we study, we pray, and then we'll meet up in between whiles as well. And it's amazing. And it's like a family. And that's what connect groups are. The book of Acts says the early church met together daily in homes. How cool. Daily in homes, eating and praying. And at Valley, we just want everyone to have that home. And if you want to create a home for others, you know what, you might go like, oh, you know, I'm not so sure I need to do that. But actually, maybe someone else needs you to do that, because actually maybe someone else needs you to be creating a home for them. Maybe someone needs you to have your heart open so much, not because maybe you need it, but maybe because actually they need your life story. They need to know your journey, because actually that's where they're at And unless you open yourself to them, then they'll never be able to take the next step. So, you know what? Be part of a journey. Be part of a connect group. And I'm sure they're probably going to have to reset the stage somehow. I don't know. But I just want to finish by talking as the band come up and the stage maybe gets reset about, like, home's a bit messy, which is kind of a good way of talking about it, because it's going to get a little bit messy up here. And we think that our homes, like, have to be all sorted. We think that our homes have to have it all together. We think that we can't show our mess. And actually, Pastor Dave came into our house on Thursday, and he walked into the living room, and he was like, "Wow, it's tidy in here." And my reply was, "Yeah, we've not been in much." Because, you know, like homes, they're a little bit messy, you know, because we do life there. And homes aren't supposed to be perfect. And, you know, you might be sat here going, "Michelle, like, I don't feel like I'm perfect. I don't feel like I've got it all together. I don't feel like I'm that good at creating a home for someone else." But you know what? When God is taking up residence in you, when God has taken up residence in your life, like, people see him. They don't see the mess that's around. Because the one thing that comes through more than anything, I think, and I believe in our home, is people come into our home, they feel comfortable. You know what? They soon learn where the kettle is. They soon, you know, just go sit down on the sofa. You know, they just go help themselves in the cupboard because they feel at home, because it's a home. It's not a show home. It's a home. And church was never meant to be a show home. You know, church was never meant to be one of those places that was just going to get everything right, because God gave it to us to be. God says that you're my people and I'm going to trust you with the hope of the world. Like, you've got Jesus in your life. You've got the Holy Spirit working in you, and here it, you know, I want you now to take this into the world of people who need to hear it. And sure, you're not going to get it all right, you know, but like, don't get hung up on a fence. Like, don't get hung up on the things that the devil would just put in your way to stop you being my ambassadors. Like, don't get hung up in the mess. Don't get hung up in the stuff that maybe you're going to trip over on the way, because in front of you is this wide open space. And it's that spacious place that I've actually called you to bring to each and every person that is in your world. It's that open space. It's that hope. You know, that eternal hope is that love of God that the world needs to know. And God says, "I want you to create a home for the new generation. I want you to create a home for people who don't know me, because actually I love them. I have a passion for them. I want them to see who I am. I want them to spend eternity with me." This is what God says. And God says, "You can do it." He says, "You are my ambassadors. You have my Holy Spirit within you."
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church, or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.